reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first lesson reminds us that the body and blood of Jesus are truly present in the bread and wine, and that those receiving the Lord's Supper must understand the significance of this presence, lest they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Reading from 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is our first reading. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf.
The gospel lesson shows us how the love of Jesus surrounds his supper. That love should motivate us to love one another. Proper examination for this meal leads us to ask, "Have I loved like Christ?" Coming forward to this meal is a statement to God and each other that we will amend our unloving ways. Reading from John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and a teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father,
and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. If I took you to a grocery store tomorrow, plucked up a nice, red, juicy apple, and said to you, "This is actually the meat of a dodo bird," you would probably look at me rather weirdly. In fact, some of you are right at this moment. You're crazy. First of all, everybody knows that's an apple. And secondly, dodo birds haven't been around for thousands of years. How could it possibly be the meat of a dodo bird when they're not even around? Well, in that instance, you'd be right. It's totally absurd. It makes no sense. Nobody would ever believe me. If some individual angry with the world, because the world had abused him, and no one would come to his help, somehow could invent a device that could destroy the whole world in an instant, and announce to the world, "I hold you hostage and I will hold you accountable." And one roughly 33-year-old young man who didn't look much different from most 33-year-old men came up to him and said, "I will trade my life for all of theirs." Do you think he'd make a deal? Oh no, that'd be absurd. You'd never make a Hollywood movie out of it. Nobody would ever go see it. It's too dumb. Some bread, some wine. No, that's not bread and wine. That is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross thousands of years ago. But he's there right now, present for us to eat and drink. To the logical mind, doesn't that sound absurd? It's probably why amongst at least Protestant church bodies, there's only a couple, and they happen to be named Lutherans, that still believe that's actually what's up there. No, not waiting up in heaven for us to feast on by our faith, but it's there, present on the altar right now. 2,000 years ago, someone who looked like an ordinary man, about 33 years old, stepped forward and said to the God of all creation, the architect of the universe and everything that exists, who is righteously angry with the world he had made because it had rebelled against him, denied him, saying he doesn't even exist in many quarters of the world. A world full of anger and hatred. And we've seen so many examples of that lately. People randomly shooting up concert goers, school children. And then as you comb the history books, you realize that it's not actually that rare a thing. People like Hitler, who tries to annihilate entire races of people. And that behavior still goes on throughout the world. Why would God want to put up with this? Why not just start over? But to go to his own son, ask him to take on our human flesh, that he might vent the fullness of his anger against the world for all of its sin, all of its crime, all of its murder, all of its hatred. To vent it all on him, that he might forgive. And that all who repent and trust in what the Son has done might be saved from their sin and live with him eternally. It's absurd to believe that someone can be nailed to the cross after being whipped nearly to the point of death and then have a spear thrust through his side. Blood and water gushing out from within him. To have him rise and appear not just to one or two people, but to dozens at sometimes, at least according to the Apostle Paul, 500 at one point in time, alive and well, eating and drinking, going about his Father's business. It seems like the stuff of fantasy. But you're here tonight because you don't believe it's a fantasy. You believe it's real. That when the words are pronounced of forgiveness, that even though you may have done many wrong things today and throughout your life, sometimes horrible things, to believe that in Christ and in his blood, you, an unclean person, have now been made fully clean to the point that we can speak of you at least in some way as being absolutely perfect. My friends, that's not reasonable. It's not logical. That God would love you for the sake of Christ, that he would send his Son to die and rise for you, that despite how imperfect you seem right now, your sins are cleansed, and that God awaits you in heaven, where you will live forever with him, not as some disembodied spirit floating around, but in your own resurrected body, just as Christ's body was resurrected. Met in this place, through Christ, sin will be no more, or death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. Sounds like a fantasy. But it's real. A few thousand years ago, God did send his Son into human flesh. And he died on a cross. And if he didn't rise again, I don't think we'd be here this evening. And not just us, but millions of Christians throughout all history. And even today. Something illogical, something absurd, something that defies all human reason took place 2,000 years ago. And it's still taking place. Tonight, as you come forward, Jesus will be here. He'll be here with his body and with his blood. And though I may be speaking of the words or one of the elders, it's really he who will be saying to you, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Given for you, shed for you. That you might be partakers of a new covenant that God has with man through the blood of Jesus. In him, you unclean, loveless people have been made lovely again. God grant that we always cling to these absurdities in the world's eyes as the true reality that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.